I think we should. Yeah. But that's good. Where do you put it?
Lord, I'm a wanderer, स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। अंतराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। निताय गौरवानंदे हरि बोल समवेत भक्तवृंद की जय। आदरेश्वरी श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कैंटो 2 चैप्टर 5 द काज ऑफ ऑल काजेस। टू वी डूइंग टेक्स्ट 6 और 3 थ्रू 8। Yeah. So text 3, word meanings. Sarvam, all and everything. He certainly, now this is Narada Muni speaking to Lord Brahma, etat this, Bhavan, your good self, Veda, no, Bhuta, all that is created or born, Bhavya, all that will be created or born, Bhavat, all that is being created, Prabhu, you, the master of everything, Kara, Amalaka Vat, just like a walnut within your grip. You might notice this word here, Amalaka. So it's not actually a walnut. It's an Amalaki fruit. The proper translated is walnut, because who knows what amalaki is in America, right, or in the West. Amalaki. Today's, I believe it's also, there are lots of Sanskrit amla, it's known in India as amla. It's the Indian gooseberry. I looked it up. So it's about the size of a walnut. So instead of saying that, probably just call it a walnut. Vishvam, the universe. Vijnana avasitam, within your knowledge, scientifically. Tava, your. Sarvam ityetad bhavan veda.
Sarvam ityetad bhavan veda.
Bhuta bhavya bhavat prabhu.
Bhuta
bhavya bhavat prabhu. Vijnanavasitam tava.
Vijnanavasitam
tava. Kuramalakavad. Skipped a couple lines there, didn't I? Sarvam etad bhavan veda. Bhuta bhavya bhavat prabhu. Kuramalakavad vishvam. Vijnanavasitam tava.
Sarvam
etad bhavan veda. Bhuta bhavya bhavat prabhu. Kuramalaka vad vishvam. Vijnanavasitam tava.
Bhuta
bhavya bhavat prabhu.
Paramalaka vad vishvam.
Kramarapabhadnivishtam Vijnana Vasitam Tava Sarvam Yeta Bhavan Veda Bhutavadya Bhavat Prabhu Kramarapabhadnivishtam So the Prabhupada's translation and purport. My dear Father, all this is known to you scientifically, because whatever was created in the past, whatever will be created in the future, or whatever is being created at present, as well as everything within the universe, is within your grip. Just like a walnut. Purport. Brahma is the direct creator of the manifested universe and everything within the universe. He therefore knows what happened in the past, what will happen in the future, and what is happening at present. Three principal items, namely the living being, the phenomenal world, and the controller, are all in continuous action, past, present, and future. And the direct manager is supposed to know everything of such actions and reactions, as one knows about a walnut within the grip of one's palm. The direct manufacturer of a particular thing is supposed to know how he learned the art of manufacturing, where he got the ingredients, how he set it up, and how the products in the manufacturing process are being turned out. Because Brahma is the firstborn living being, naturally he is supposed to know everything about creative functions. Next four, we can go through these and those verses, we'll do the Sanskrit together. Yad-vijñāno yad-ādhāro yad-parastam yad-ātmaka Eka svijasi bhutani bhutaro vatmamayaya. My dear Father, what is the source of your knowledge? Under whose protection are you standing? And under whom are you working? What is your real position? Do you alone create all entities with material elements by your personal energy? Purport. It was known to Sri Narad Muni that Lord Brahma attained creative energy by undergoing severe austerities. As such, he could understand that there was someone else superior to Brahmaji who invested Brahma with the power of creation. Therefore, he asked all the above questions. Discoveries of progressive scientific achievements are therefore not independent. The scientist has to attain the knowledge of a thing already existing by means of the wonderful brain made by someone else. A scientist can work with the help of such an awarded brain, but it is not possible for the scientist to create his own or a similar brain. Therefore, no one is independent in the matter of any creation, nor is such creation automatic. Text 5. Atman bhavaya setani na parabhavayam svayam atma shakti mavastabhya urmanabhi vaklamaha. As the spider very easily creates the network of its own cobweb and manifests its power of creation without being defeated by others, so also you yourself, by employment of your self-sufficient energy, create without anyone's help. It seems like Narada is going back and forth here, doesn't it? He attributes everything to Brahma, then he says, well, who created you? Then again he says, you did everything by yourself. Purport. The best example of self-sufficiency is the sun. The sun does not require to be illuminated by any other body. Rather, it is the sun which helps all other illuminating agents. For in the presence of the sun, no other illuminating agent becomes prominent. Now they compared the position of Brahma to the self-sufficiency of the spider, who creates its own field of activities without any other's help by employment of its own energetic creation of saliva. Text 6. Na vira paramyasmin na paramasamam vibho na marupa gunabhadam sarasat kinchiram yata. Whatever we can understand by the nomenclature, characteristics, and features of a particular thing, superior, inferior, or equal, eternal or temporary, is not created from any other source, any source other than that of your lordship, thou so great. Only a few thous in your books. Seems appropriate here. Purport. The manifested world is full of varieties of created beings and 8,400,000 species of life, and some of them are superior and inferior to others. In human society, the human being is considered to be the superior living being, and amongst the human beings there are also different varieties, good, bad, equal, etc. But Narada Muni took for granted that none of them has any source of generation besides his father, Brahmaji. Therefore, he wanted to know all about them from Lord Brahma. Text 7. Sabhavana Chavadhoram Yatapasi Samahita Tena Kuda Yasomastam Parashankam Chayakshasi. Yet we are moved to wonder about the existence of someone more powerful than you when we think of your great austerities and perfect discipline, although your good self is so powerful in the matter of creation. Report. Following in the footsteps of Sri Narada Muni, one should not blindly accept his spiritual master as God himself, because Brahma is Narada Muni's spiritual master. A spiritual master is duly respected on a par with God, but a spiritual master claiming to be God himself should at once be rejected. Narada Muni accepted Brahma as the supreme due to Lord Brahma's wonderful acts in creation, but doubts arose in him when he saw that Lord Brahma also worshipped some superior authority. The Supreme is supreme, and he has no worshipable superior. The Ahangaho Pasita, or one who worships himself with the idea of becoming God himself, is misleading. But the intelligent disciple can at once detect that the Supreme God does not need to worship anyone, including himself, in order to become God. Ahangaraho Pasana may be one of the processes for transcendental realization, but the Ahangaraho Pasita can never be God himself. No one becomes God by undergoing a process of transcendental realization. Narada Muni thought of Brahmaji as the Supreme Person, but when he saw Brahmaji engaged in the process of transcendental realization, doubts arose in him, so he wanted to be clearly informed. And finally, text 8. Etame prichyata sarvam saragya sataloshvara Vijanihi yate vai aham vibhyo nishasita. My dear father, you know everything, and you are the controller of all. Therefore, may all that I have inquired from you be kindly instructed to me so that I may be able to understand it as your student. Purport. The inquiries made by Narada Muni are very important for everyone concerned, and as such, Narada requested Brahmaji to deem them suitable so that others who may come in the line of the cyclic succession of the Brahma Sampradaya may also know them properly without any difficulty. There are several places in the Bhagavatam that are considered the Bhagavatam. This is one of them. This is the beginning of one of them. Of course, we have the four nutshell verses of the Bhagavatam coming up in this canto, chapter 9, when Lord Krishna speaks to Lord Brahma. In the 12th canto, there's a verse in the 13th chapter that describes how this progression of the Bhagavatam for different speakers. Of course, Brahma spoke to Narada, Narada spoke to Vyas, Vyas spoke to Shukadeva, so Shukadeva spoke to Parikshit, and Sukadeva Goswami was there, and so on. So there is described that each one of those persons spoke the Bhagavatam. So this, we're just beginning right now, Lord Brahma's version of the Bhagavatam. This is something pointed out by our acharyas. It's 100, I forget exactly, somewhere around 150 in that range, verses, whatever chapters of this canto, the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is considered to be the second speaking of the Bhagavatam. We're just beginning it, the second speaking. The first speaking will come later, of course, in the night. In the four nutshell verses. This is the second speaking of the Bhagavatam, narration of the Bhagavatam. And it's coming as a result of Narada Muni asking about his father. So when the different questions come to my mind, one is I think, when Narada's grown up, I wonder if he was born that way. Because you would think that Lord Brahma would have already told him everything from the time he was a child, so he would already know the answer to this. Sometimes I think of these details and I think, well, it's probably just to make the narration, make the story, certain things are done in certain ways to make the story. So in order to ask this question, he has to be in ignorance, you can say. He doesn't know, even though he's old enough to know better. He doesn't know, he has to ask his father. His Prabhupada was having the last purport today. It's very fortunate for us that he can answer, so everyone in the Pacific session can know the answer to these questions. So let me run through these a little bit, some of these verses. And first of all, he's saying that you know everything. Just like a walnut. Walnut in the palm of your hand. If someone has a palm, a walnut. And he doesn't just say that he knows whatever is being created, whatever is already present there, you know it intimately. You know everything about it. So Lord, imagine Lord Brahma's intelligence. It says that sometimes that this material world, it's sometimes described that the universe is Lord Brahma's body. He's the consciousness within the universe. And the super soul, so he's the soul in the universe, and then Lord Vishnu is the super soul within the universe. So it's like a body. So in one sense, this universe is the actual universal form of Lord Brahma, because he inhabits this universe. So just as we're conscious, of course we're conscious in a very limited way, of everything, not to the tips of my fingers, my consciousness goes. So Lord Brahma's consciousness goes all over this universe. So he's not an ordinary living being, of course. There are different places where it's described. He's an avatar. He's a Brahma avatar. So he's an incarnation of Krishna. He represents Krishna. In one sense, he is Krishna. There's a verse. Do I have it here? Anyway, look for it. But here. Actually, here it is. I think this is it. I think this is Prabhupada's translation. The creator Brahma, as the incarnation of the passion mode of the personality of Godhead, creates the universal affairs with unfailing desires in every millennium by the force of the Lord's energy. The word millennium is used in different ways. Here it seems to be a day of Brahma, because every day he creates universal affairs, or at least some of them. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, his translation, or Ramaswamy's translation of his purport, I guess, making it into the translation, the Supreme Lord Paramatma becoming the creator Brahma, with unfailing determination, creates himself in another form. The Supreme Lord creates himself in another form by his own energy. So Brahma is considered to be a form, because he's a Guru avatar, is considered to be a form of the Lord Vishnu. So his consciousness is obviously extraordinary. I had some different ideas about what to speak about here. I have this whole description about how there are three Brahmas. So we'll see if we get to that. It's a pretty interesting thing. It's not something we tend to think about. So in this first verse also we have this word, Vijnana Avasitam. Within your knowledge scientifically. So Srila Prabhupada would often quote, first Vijnana. The word V can mean many things. It's a specifier. V is sometimes translated Vishesha. Vishesha means uniqueness. It said the Lord Krishna was chanting the Brahma Samhita prayers, Vishesha Shubham. His beauty is unique. So Vijnana is a specifier, so it can mean, in a special kind of way it is Jnana. So Prabhupada translates Vijnana, so Jnana can be special in different kinds of ways. It can be special when you actually realize that. That's one way we say Vijnana. So here Prabhupada translates it as scientifically. Within your knowledge scientifically. So you don't just know it in a kind of general, generic way, but you really know it. You really know it and you really understand it. That's Vijnana, that's a scientific understanding. Sometimes we have a hazy understanding of things. I know I can see when I graduated from college with a degree in civil engineering, I still had a hazy idea of what it was all about. So when it came to apply it, when I got to an occupation later, I couldn't really do it because I didn't really understand it. Somehow I was able to pass the test. So I didn't have, but I didn't really understand it. So I didn't have Vijnana, real knowledge, real understanding of it. So when we study the Bhagavatam and the Vedic literature, we learn about Krishna, we have to really understand it. Janma karma cha me divyam, I often think of this. This verse, Janma karma cha me divyam, idam yo veti tatpata. Chakra deham panar janma naiti namati sojana. So the translation is that one who knows about the transcendental nature of your birth and activities does not take birth again, does not get another body. So I can say, well, I know that. We all know that, right? We all know that Krishna's birth and activities, karma and jnana and karma are transcendental. We all know that. So does that mean we're all going back to Godhead because we already know that? Well, no, you have to read other places where Prabhupada talks about it. In fact, he says you can't know it until you're liberated. You have to be on the liberated platform to know Krishna Tattvata, to actually know it. Because then you think you know it. Just like sometimes Prabhupada does this in the context of the Rasa Lila. You may think, well, I know what's going on here. It's a boy and a girl, they're enjoying together. But we don't know what's going on. It's completely beyond us. So Vijnana means to really know it. So he's saying that you know everything. Because otherwise, how, as Prabhupada points out in the purport, where he's assuming, well, if it's all there, you created all of this, so you must know how you did it. You must have known how to do it, and the proof of it is we can see you created all these things here. So he's amazed, actually, at his father. He's a disciple, again, he's not only is a disciple, he's glorifying his spiritual master in a sense. Not only is he his father, but he's his guru. This is just an aside. reading a lot of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. His relationship with his father was definitely a guru and disciple. It wasn't a father and son. He didn't call him Pita. He always glorified him as you know, coming from Krishna, directly connected with Krishna, Mahabharat, Mahapurusha. That was his relationship with his father. Others in his, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's brothers and sisters didn't necessarily see, in fact they didn't see their father in that way, but he saw them that way. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also saw his son, Saraswati Thakur, Siddhanta Saraswati, as he referred to him. He saw him as a special soul, also sent by Krishna, liberated soul, come to help him in his mission. So they had this, it was a transcendental relationship, it wasn't just a father and son relationship. So we can understand that this is also going on with Narada Muni and Lord Brahma, their two Nityasiddhas. Brahma, of course, we don't always necessarily think of him as Nityasiddha, but his position is in some ways inconceivable to us. He's certainly on a very high level at the beginning of our sampradaya. So what else? The next verse, 6:4, my dear father, what is the source of your knowledge? Then he starts thinking, well, I'm glorifying you like this, but it seems like, why is he asking? Do you alone create all the entities with material elements by your energy? The Prabhupada explains that there are different kinds of entities in this world, and you can see them, and they come from Brahma. Maybe not, they don't all come directly from him, but they come after him. He's creating the creators of these other entities. I'll pause here for some notes. This is a description of the different creations. This is from the 3rd canto, 10th chapter, text 14. It says, there are 9 types of creation. 6 are elemental. That's what they're called, elemental. That's called prakriti. Elemental, prakriti. They're coming from prakriti. And 3 are by Brahma. So the first 9 types of creation. The 10th is the creation of the devatas, which is a combination of elemental creation and a creation by Brahma. So we talk about, of course, in the 10 subjects of the Bhagavatam, we have Sarga and Visarga. Here again, we have this word, this prefix of V. So creation and the subsequent creation, a special kind of creation. So Sarga, this seems to be parallel to what's going on here, the Prakriti creations, and the second one is called the Vaikrita. So Va is also a form of V, specialized creation, special kind. So these are the Prakriti creations, these are the first things. The point here is that Narada's realized, well, did you have everything to start with, or maybe you were working with something? Maybe the materials were presented to you, given to you, and you were working with them, you put it all together. So this is what was provided to Brahma. And these are the 6, again, these are called the Prakriti creations, or elemental creations. The Mahatattva, this is pretty important. False ego, 10 matras, that means the sense objects. These things, of course, they're so subtle, you wonder, well, what is that anyway, sense object? It's hard to get a grasp of it, what it means exactly. Of course, we know sound, form, touch, taste, and smell. We say touch, but because we don't have a word, right? You ever think of that? We hear sound, we see sight or form. We see form. Actually, it's usually translated as form or color. Because to see something, it has to have both of these things, actually. If it doesn't have any color, you can't see it. It's just invisible. So form or color, this sound, rupa, sound, form. And then you say, so you see form, but then you say you touch, but you don't touch. What do you touch? You touch a property of something. What is that property? I guess we don't have, tactility is the best I can come up with. So we touch tactility. Well, sometimes I said, we touch shape and texture. These qualities, these are what we touch. We don't touch. But that's what they say, sound, form, touch, taste, and smell. Anyway, these are the 10 matras, so those are created before Brahma. Then the senses themselves, both kinds, the knowledge acquiring senses and the working senses. Knowledge acquiring senses means these are how we interact with the world around us. We bring in information, and then we react, we work, we go out, we work on the creation, the material, the things that are out there. We go out, we bring in, and we go out. So knowledge acquiring senses and action senses that act on the world. And then the fifth property of creation is deities presiding over the senses and mind. Specifically these deities, the deities presiding over the senses and mind. So every sense has a presiding deity. And these are manifest from Ahamkara and Sattva. And then finally the sixth property of creation is ignorance. From the avidya shakti of the world. This is from Bhishma Chakravarti Thakur. Man has three conditions, pradhan, avidya, and vidya. By pradhana, the elements from mahatattva to earth are created. Well, the different steps there from mahatattva until you get up to earth, water, fire, or ether. By avidya, which bewilders the jiva, five types of ignorance are created. We'll hear about those in the Bhagavatam. By vidya, knowledge which destroys the five types of ignorance is created. So these are one of the conditions of Maya. She has avidya and she has vidya. And she has pradhana, which is all the elements. So then this is what Brahma does. He doesn't have much left to do, all the big stuff's done. So, now there's a verse, I don't think I quoted it here. Anyway, it is said, Prabhupada translates it as, in the matter of creation, he has a brain like the Supreme, like the personality of Godhead. So the Sanskrit is Hari Medasa. So it means, he has Hari's brain. Medasa means, it specifically means substance. Often it's taken as, we would say brain substance. So his brain substance is Hari. In the matter of creation, Prabhupada takes it. So what does he do with his brain? These are called the Vaikrita creations. First, there's a whole list of these. These come up in the, I think this is the 10th chapter, the 3rd canto. All the different creations by Brahma. And they're listed and broken down. So first is the immobile living entities. So those, it says something about how they get their nourishment. Those are all plants. The immobile means that they're plants, they can't move. So he creates those, and then he creates, this is how they're described, entities that distribute their food horizontally. I guess they do rough side duty, as they say. Horizontal, they get horizontal. I don't think that's what it means. But anyway, that's what it says. But what that is, when you see the list, first it talks about horses and donkeys and camels and this, and it breaks it down. Those that have one, that the hoof is split, and those whose hoof is not split, and so on. So you go through all this list, but what it is, it's land-dwelling animals and birds. So we have plants, then the second category is land-dwelling animals and birds, and then the ninth creation is human beings. Now this doesn't mention all the others, Vidyadaras and Chanas and Apsaras and all those things, although that does come later. And then the tenth creation is the Devatas. So the Devatas, it says, a creation of Devatas occurs in the creation made by Brahma later, called Vaikuntha or secondary. And it says the creation of the Kumaras is both Prakriti and Vaikuntha. They are said to be both Prakriti and Vaikuntha because by Brahma's meditation on the world, they are generated both by Brahma, Vaikuntha, and the world, Prakriti. So they saw, you know, there's that painting in the, I guess, third canto of Brahma, where the you know, Sharidama is coming out from one part of his body, and these sages are coming from another part of his body, and all of that. So that's all described. Now, one thing that I was finding, and I was thinking, well, who created the planets? Anyway, I can't find where it says who created the planets. I suppose it must come up somewhere, but the only thing I did a search, a database search, and the only thing I found was an article in BTG in 1970 by Chitananda Prabhu. And the whole article is he goes to meet Sridhar Swami, Prabhupada, B.R. Sridhar Maharaj. And Sridhar Maharaj just starts speaking, it's just him, he's just speaking. And the whole article is that Chitananda said what Sridhar Swami said. So Sridhar Swami said there, in that meeting with the Chitananda Prabhu, that Brahma utters a different sound for each planetary system. And his engineer, Sri Vishva Karma, creates the planets according to those sounds. So, I thought that was interesting. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of lives. Sri Ramana is not going to invent something, so it's probably here in the Bhagavatam somewhere, or some other, maybe some other Quran or something. Okay, so that's a little bit of something. So, Narada had reason to wonder what was going on here. So then, I know he doesn't have time to read his verses. So then he also talks about, now again he says he's questioning, and then he says, but actually you're just like a spider. So what, the spider is independent. Everything just comes out of the spider. It's all on his own. So he's sort of like doubting and then doubting his doubt, going back and forth. But then it seems like he kind of says on that, well, you know everything, so maybe you can explain it to me, because I'm kind of bewildered here. I'm not exactly sure. Please explain it. And then in the next verse, Lord Brahma is going to start speaking, and he's going to explain everything. Or, Shukadeva Goswami is going to explain everything. Or it will be fluffed out. I know sometimes when I read, there's a whole list where Vidura is talking to Maitreya. And Vidura asks him so many questions. And at one point, Prabhupada says, and Maitreya will answer all of these and do one after the other, something like that. And when I look at the list, I say, I don't know the answer to all these questions. Where are they? I've listened to the Bible time a lot. And a lot of times I say, well, maybe it's, you know, a quarter of a verse in there, one word, or a couple of words. You know, one example that says that pictures, you know, he's going to explain, well, I don't know anything about the pictures. Their name comes up all the time. But what exactly the deal is with the pictures, I'm not exactly sure. So I'm thinking, maybe I'm missing something. I've got to read between the lines somewhere. I'm just not smart enough to get it. But supposedly, all the answers are there somewhere. Or maybe they're there in another version of the Bhagavatam. You know, well, Brahma's reading that one. Well, another way, just like I was saying in the beginning, there are different versions of the Bhagavatam. So, in one sense, you know, the Bhagavatam is all knowledge. All knowledge is Bhagavatam. Because what does Bhagavatam mean? It means in relation to Bhagavat, in relation to God. So all knowledge is, in one sense, Bhagavatam. It can be condensed down to four verses. It can be expanded unlimitedly. So all the answers are there. They exist eternally. All knowledge is there. It exists eternally. That's Veda. It exists eternally. And you have to be qualified to tap into it. The great rishis, they can see these things. Shukadeva Goswami, of course, we have this sort of external action going on where he hears it. But he's so qualified that he can access, like so many old Vedic rishis, they can access this knowledge that's there, that's present there. And just like the personified Vedas, the Shruti Gana. So they exist eternally with Krishna. Just like we exist eternally. So the Upanishads, they also exist eternally. So they are there. If you have the qualification, you can speak to them. Like Madhvacharya, he spoke to Vyasadeva. If you go there, you might not be able to do that. But he was. So if you're qualified, you can also speak to the Upanishads. So it's all a matter of qualification, isn't it? So what we're trying to do is qualify ourselves. Of course, we're trying to qualify ourselves to speak with the Lord and the spiritual world, and the Lord and all his associates have their personal association. All right, let's stop here. I don't know if we're set enough to arouse any questions, but any questions?
Thank you for a wonderful class. When I hear your class, I always so many questions come. I want to read the Bhagavatam more, see if I can find some answers. But Lord Brahma just created everything in the beginning, and he's just sitting back because he's just a creator, he's not a maintainer. So in the beginning, he just created everything, all the living entities, everything is created. And what does he do the rest of time?
Well, he didn't create in an instant, you know, it took some time. And then he created, again, persons who created. Like we hear about how, of course, first he created the Kumaras, and they didn't want to create progeny. Then he created Rudra, and he created different sages in Narada, and he created, especially for procreation, he created Swayambhuva Manu and Shatrurupa. He created the male and the female. Scientists can't really explain how the male and female just happened to both appear, so things could go on. So he created, you know, so things could go on. But he has something to do. He's also, of course, what he does, he worships the Mahapurusha. We hear about this in the Bhagavatamrita. Mahapurusha is on Brahma Loka. Mahapurusha is a form of Gaudiya Vishnu. So he worships him there. So he has plenty to do there. And he's always, of course, reading the Vedas, studying the Vedas. Every once in a while, he has to deal with the foolish devatas who come to him with some problem, because they're always getting in trouble with the asuras or doing something they shouldn't do. So he's... You know, actually, I was thinking about this, how Brahma is so far beyond Indra, it's hard to imagine if you even go there, actually. He's so far above him in consciousness, and if we think of it, you know, geographically, cosmologically, he's so far above him. But Narada goes there with his problems once in a while. So Brahma's, he's there. He didn't have to personally supervise everything. But he put it all together, and any chance Hare Krishna.
You mentioned three Brahmas, did you? Didn't you say there were three Brahmas?
Yeah. Should I read that? It takes a little while. Well, let me see if I can summarize it. Basically, let's see. Actually, I had some notes here. I got this mostly from a lot of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And this is my understanding of what he's saying. There are three Brahmas. The first is Hiranyagarbha. I think that I got into this because I was trying to figure out what Hiranyagarbha is, because it seems to be different things in different places. I was trying to figure it out. So, first Brahma is Hiranyagarbha, which is made of the Mahatattva. And he is the aggregate of all the jivas. So Hiranyagarbha, this is one meaning of Hiranyagarbha, means you pack all the jivas together as the beginning of when the universe is manifested in another, you know, manifestation, and after it comes out from Mahavishnu. So all the jivas with their ahamkars taken together, that's called Hiranyagarbha. And the soul of that Hiranyagarbha is Lord Brahma. So this is why, this is one of the forms of Lord Brahma, this Hiranyagarbha, this form of all the jivas. And sometimes resorted to this to explain Prabhupada's inconceivable statement that we all began material existence as Lord Brahma. So I thought, well, this could be an explanation of it. Lord Brahma is the soul of all the jivas in the universe. But when you read the way Prabhupada says, it doesn't seem to be that's what he's saying, but anyway. So the second Brahma, body of Brahma, is Vairaja Brahma. Is Brahma as the lotus. As the lotus. That's the body. It's his body. when it is made of the planets, so this is explained by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, just summarizing what he said, that one of Brahma's bodies is the lotus flower itself, if made of the material, all the material elements. So that's one of his bodies. And then the third Brahma is the four-headed Brahma that we know. That's the one we usually think about. Four-headed Brahma, he's the one who creates. Of course, I have another question. Well, who's on the top of Mount Meru? Because on the top of Mount Meru, Brahma has a place there. And the demigods also have places around it. And that doesn't correspond to Brahma Loka when we hear about the description of the universe. So all I think is, well, maybe say, you know, in India, the rich people have hill stations. They go there in the summer when it gets hot. So there's a Brahma's hill station. He goes, of course, he can be at both places at the same time, which is another inconceivable thing about it. Everything is inconceivable in the world that get down to it. So Brahma can be at more than one place at the same time. Okay, so that's about the three Brahmas. So yes, okay. This I think is from the purport, I think it's from Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam 3.8.15, which mentions at least two of the Brahmas, and in Prabhupada's purport also, if you read it carefully, you'll think, maybe Prabhupada is talking about this. It's a little hard to follow. But there's also a footnote by Bhanu Swami, where he says that Rupa Goswami in Lady Bhagavatamrita gives only two forms of Brahma. Hiranyagarbha and Gayaja. There's obviously the foreheads. Oh, the foreheaded one is that one. Yeah. Gayaja is the gross form made of the aggregate elements with four heads who creates. So he says those two are the same. Gayaja Brahma and the foreheaded Brahma. Rupa Goswami says in Lady Bhagavatamrita. So 3.8.15, you can look at commentaries on that.
I have two questions. One is, I've always, well, is it not stated?
I'm going to do one at a time because I can't remember.
Yes,
two
okay. Is it not stated that Lord Brahma is the engineer of the universe? Somewhere,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what I always retained, okay?
Yeah.
When you speak of his engineer, from that quote from His Holiness Sridhar Swami, right? He speaks of...
Because Vishnu Khan is often called it. Engineer, architect. In other words, he's the construction manager.
Yeah. Oh, Brahma is the engineer.
There may be different layers of people.
Okay.
The higher subcontractors.
Yeah.
Just like in producers, it's in the movies they have executive producer, then they have this producer and that producer, all these different kinds of producers. So I think the executive producer is the guy with the money who makes it all happen. So, there are these different levels there.
The other question is that in this purport where Srila Prabhupada says, the sun, which helps all other illuminating agents, for in the presence of the sun, no other illuminating agent becomes prominent. How is it then in the night sky, when there is the dark moon, the stars are illuminated? Is it not, if the sun is illuminating the stars, why is it not illuminating some of the moon? dumb question or too scientific. But
which purport is that in? Here. The last text 5.
5.
The sun does not require to be illuminated by any of the body, but it is the sun which helps all other illuminating agents. For in the presence of the sun, no other illuminating agent becomes prominent. And that's our. At least, I think that's what the... But who knows? It's really hard to understand what the Bhagavatam is saying. But generally, Prabhupada would take it that way. That there's only one star, one sun, and all the others are reflecting the light of the sun. Although, even in Jyotish, I don't know if it's explained that way exactly. So, I don't know. It gets complicated, you know, about this whole cosmology thing.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I actually have comments, two of them. But that was an amazing class and I can't comprehend it. But that towards the end, when you were saying how the Bhagavatam can be the four nutshell verses or it can be all knowledge, I remember hearing at the end of some lecture from Srila Prabhupada, I'm sure early days, some lady devotee asks him, is there some like Joan of Arc in the Srimad Bhagavatam?
Yeah.
And Prabhupada answers, why do you take Joan of Arc out from Srimad Bhagavatam? Like the life of a saint is Bhagavatam. So I just, that's one comment. And the other one is, and I can't remember whether this is from Tamal Krishnamurti's Jagannath Priya Natakam, or the, where it describes how Revati's father was looking for a suitable husband for her, but I think he went to Lord Brahma to ask if he knew of a suitable husband, and Lord Brahma said, well, since you came here, in the Jagannath Priya Natakam, the person is waiting because Lord Brahma is attending a concert, so he has to wait till the concert's over. But anyway, when they asked, is there a suitable husband for Lord for my daughter Revati? He said, well, yes, but all the people that you were thinking of had died many thousands of years ago, but there is someone now, and it was Lord Balaram. But she was from another yuga, and she was so tall, he had to use his plowshare to pull her down to the right size, and then he became her husband.
The main story we know about from the Bhagavatam, but this part about how she was big and had to be brought down to size, that's...
And also, Lord Brahma was listening to a concert. That's one of the things he got.
Oh, yeah, of course, we know the concert is Sankirtan, it's glorification of the Lord. It's all the...
Interesting topic. Even though they're saying that Lord Brahma created all the species and everything, but this is not so directly, because from him came the mind-born sons of him, then Shakarupa and Swayambhuva Mana.
Hmm.
And from these, everything came about. Later on, Kashyapa and his wife, from Kashyapa and his wife, all these different species was promoted. So I'm thinking maybe he designed the forms, you know, you have to have a plan how all of these would come about. But it's not like Lord Brahma produced them, because it's stated clearly in the Bhagavatam that from Kashyapa, his wife and his daughters, all the species came about. See? All the species. Mm-hmm. All life. Then another point, you were talking about the planet, and that, you know, because sometimes he says from the Lord the universe has come out like pores, you know, from his pores, little sweat, right? But sometimes I'm wondering if it's the universe or the planets. I mean, in terms of universes, the scientists can see 95 billion light years away. I mean, so if it's universes, then and the universe has 10 coverings, so how...
Anyway, we're following Shastra. Shastra shows universe. Prabhupada was talking about building a Vedic planetarium, temple of the Vedic planetarium. Said the scientists will come, and whenever they say, we will disagree with them. This is a challenge to them. Whenever they say, we will say, you are wrong.
Satsvut Maharaj asked Prabhupada, how I remember everything I've read, and he said, there'll be a time when you remember everything you've read and everything you haven't read. So all these things are a mystery to us and very complicated. In time, we'll be able to understand. That's it.
I'm sorry. My hearing is not very good. I couldn't hear a word.
Satsarup Maharaj asked Prabhupada once, how he would remember.
And how do you remember?
How he could remember everything.
How he could remember.
He's forgiving. And so Prabhupada...
And what was the next word you just said?
There will be a cut time when you remember everything that you've read
and everything that you
haven't read. So you know everything. So all these things are very complicated to us and we don't understand.
You know everything you've read and everything you haven't read?
Yeah. You know everything. Just follow the process.
Of course, that doesn't mean, you know, how many windows are in New York City. But, you know, my point we're talking about when we talk about all knowledge, that's ignorance, actually. This world is, everything I know in this, about this world is, it's useless. It's not real knowledge. It means real knowledge. That's what we know. Then know what reality is. That's what we know. Then you know everything by definition. You know, that's all you need to know. You don't need to know the other stuff. Because it's not knowledge. You don't need to have that knowledge because it's really ignorance. So that's what it means to know. Sometimes Prabhupada would say, maybe, when I ask about things like that, you know, the universe, and sometimes say, maybe.
Lord Shiva is not given any credit for creation. Generally we think of annihilation is Shiva. But at the end of creation, he devastates, but he also collects all the souls and he has to place. We are not talking about just the matter that he burns into ashes and dents, whatever the performance is. But he collects all the soul, and the soul keeps the desire intact in their subtle body for the new creation began. So what I'm hearing from you from the beginning of the class, that so there are 10 subject matters, sarga and visarga. That so you mentioned that 3.10.14 has this visarga, not the sarga. That 9 types of creation?
Those are listed in turn. The categorizing things. So in this list of 9, 6 were up to a vidya, actually. And then the 7, 8, 9, those were the plants, animals, and human beings. And then the demigods and kumaras, but those were, I guess, part of another, because there are other things we know that are created that weren't mentioned, but that was that list of 9 that's talked about in the Bhagavatam. As far as Lord, I never heard that about Lord Shiva, but he collects the souls?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just said. Because all the souls.
He but he's collecting stamps, isn't he?
And they placed it in the womb of Garbhodaksha Vishnu, and then the new creation, then again Brahma.
So he's the one that carries the souls into Mahavishnu.
I mean, he collects from the dirty place too. The souls can be in a rotten, horrible creature's place.
So he does the dirty work, cleans the soul.
We don't talk about it, we only think of death.
Is that in the Bhagavatam or some other place?
No. This is in Brahma Vaivarta Purana. Give details about the. Because I was researching on Lord Shiva. But generally we don't think of him as anything to do with the creation, but he has a big deal with creation. Hmm. Because he prepared the whole field.
Yeah. Okay. One more take on? Okay, we'll end with this.
I was just saying last night that I didn't know there was a chart by ISKCON, Birmingham, whatever, chart about creation, and it showed that Balaram expands as Shambhu, and then Shambhu has all the living entities that Pandurangapur was talking about, living entities, collecting all the living entities, but it seems from the chart what I understood was that Shambhu has all the living entities, and then he injects those living entities into the material nature.
Yeah.
So it seems like Shambhu, Lord Shiva, it seems like it's not just winding up. I was kind of surprised to see that he actually is part of that creation.
And that's what the Brahma Samhita tells us. That's what the Brahma Samhita is, Lord Shambhu. And meaning injects the combination between Shiva Linga and Yoni, that's the source of creation, living entities coming into this world. So that makes sense. And coming from Baladeva, everything comes from Baladeva, because Baladeva is the original Sankarshan. So from Sankarshan comes the Chaturvyuha, then second Chaturvyuha, and so on. And then you get down to Mahavishnu and then the other Vishnus, that's how it all unfolds. So it does begin with Balaram.
Yeah, so Sankarshan.
This is just dancing, he doesn't have any do anything else.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of surprised because you always hear Balaram expands into Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajumnan. But I was kind of surprised to see that there was like a direct thing of Shambhu being.
Well, maybe it's not direct, the chart was skipping some of it.
I don't know, I'm looking at the chart.
I can say it all comes from Balaram. Actually, it's true. Everything that we know about, especially everything in this material world and all the Vishnus and so on, that's all coming from Balaram. Krishna has nothing to do with that kind of thing. He's not, that's not his job. He doesn't have a job. Alright, let's stop here. Prabhupada ki jai.